Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Jesse Moss and Amanda McBain's compelling new documentary film, Girl State, is a political coming-of-age story and a stirring reimagination of what it means to govern. It follows young female leaders from wildly different backgrounds from across Missouri as they navigate an immersive experiment into how to build a government from the ground up. Like their previous work, Boys State, it follows these compelling young people as they are trying to figure out the world in which they live and the world ahead of them. We're joined today by the co-directors of Girl State. That would be Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss. Welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Amanda and Jesse were kind enough to join us when Boys State came out back in 2020. A film filled with energy and just kind of watching the complicated machinations of these young men as they grappled with how to have power, to wield power, how they were going to work together. So many different issues came up in Boys State. I'm curious as to whether or not you always planned on doing Girl State, or was it something that came from the success that you had with Boys State?
We were always going to do it. The question was when and where. And maybe how. A little bit of the how, but not the why. The why was always like, we have to visit with the girls. How do they do politics? Do they do it differently? Will we do it in a different state? We made Boys State in Texas, but it's a big country. It's a diverse country. So we were pretty sure we wanted to leave Texas, and we ended up in Missouri. But it was hard. You know, so much went right with Boys State. It's unscripted filmmaking, and we got kind of lucky, I'll say that, with an incredible cast, an incredible story. And we were terrified. You know, it's a little bit risky to follow up a film. And so we had to give ourselves permission to take that risk. And first of all, we called the film a sibling, not a sequel. That was one way of giving ourselves permission to try and to maybe fail.
Amanda, as I recall from our conversation about Boys State, you followed a lot of people, as I recall, in Boys State. You had a lot of logistical considerations. Were they the same with Girl State? Was that part of what Jesse's talking about? Or
we learned a couple things from making Boys State. Boys State was about 1,200 kids. And we some time trying to whittle that number down to a manageable number of people we were going to follow. In the months leading up to the program, we interviewed a bunch of people. We ended up following six, I think, and four ended up being the ones we feature in the film. With Girl State, we took more time to talk to more kids in the lead up to the program. So I feel like we really did our due diligence in terms of talking to as many kids who wanted to talk to us and then really finding the group we were going to follow. Because I think we had more time, we met more people and we had a bigger cast that we followed going into the program. And we kind of didn't really like whittle that down during the edit either. We just were so taken with all these kids, and they had a very different, each of them had such a different experience and a different take on processing the week that we just couldn't let anybody go. And it was, I think the structure of Girl State is fundamentally looser, yeah, wider, kind of less linear. So Boys State has kind of a rocky format, you know, underdog, will he or won't he win? And this one, Jesse likes to say, is a little more, you know, Altman-esque, like not, I mean, that's like, a, whatever. We hope it's Altman-esque. It's,
yes, no, I know exactly what you're
a little more Nashville style, like yes, a lot of people doing a lot of things at the same time.
I would say by my count, I'm looking at sort of a seven or eight people that you end up following somewhere in that, in varying degrees. But I love the people that you talk to and just the way that we're not only introduced to them, but the way that they interact with each other. And I don't know if there was more or less of that interaction between Boys State and the characters than there was in this one. It feels like there's more kind of crossover effect in terms of the people getting to know one another. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement. There, you see these friendships form across party lines, which we didn't see in Boys State. That's really interesting. I mean, they're trying to make connections with each other. And in Boys State, it's so tribal. They really retreat to their party corners. And, you see the struggles of in particular the progressive candidate trying to kind of reach out. And in Girls State, they're really interested in building friendships first. And then, and I think they're sort of tentative about their politics, at least initially. And that's partly because the program is not letting them kind of move as quickly as they want to move, but it does give them an opportunity to build relationships. And we see that Emily, one of our conservative protagonists, builds a relationship with her friend Maddie, who identifies as gay, as progressive, as so they couldn't be more different in some ways, but they really form quite a moving friendship. And I think that's something we need to see and to feel as a country. Like, we're so balkanized in our corners and our politics feel so corrosive and destructive and difficult that I think it motivates the project. Like, can we imagine a new kind of politics, and what would it look like if we had more female representation, if you know, we did things in a more constructive way? And I think that's what we see in Girl State in part.
There's also the anecdotal, the fact is this was a gathering that was after COVID. And there was a need, I think a joy to collecting, to gathering as a big group that probably was true at Boys State programs. We just weren't there for them. And I do feel that among young people, just the desire to connect is real, especially yeah. when they're together in person.
Yeah. And one other aspect of the context of the film has to do with, at the time, the consideration of the Dobbs decision was in play as this conference. What do we call this? A conference?
Not a session.
A session was underway.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been the context, whether or not Dobbs was being decided or not, I think that the issues being discussed would have probably been very close to the same as they were.
I think it focuses the intensity, though. That everybody, all of us and they are feeling about this issue, which the court had heard. The decision, the Dobbs decision, leaked 1 week before we shot principal photography. So it was already on people's minds. Missouri was a trigger law state. So the decision that the court leaked, that was leaked by the court, by somebody on the court, I think what was going to have, you know, significant impact in the state. You know, this wasn't true in other states, right? And Missouri was. And all these girls know that. And these are girls of different politics on this issue. It was supercharged up, and they get into it. And one of the things that made it so fascinating to go to Missouri Girl State is they don't just run for governor; they form an all-female Supreme Court, and we were just so taken by that idea. But of course, we wondered what issue are they going to hear on this court, and inevitably, it's an abortion case.
Yeah, and by the way, just for people in the context, laws, trigger laws were something that it's a kind of a new development, and that is, in case a decision is made by the court in a particular issue. The states in many parts of the country, I think, well, Dobbs with abortion, there was over 30 states that had trigger laws in this country, which meant that they would automatically become the law on the decision being made by the Supreme Court if it was anti-abortion. What's striking about the difference between Boys State and Girls State is that with Boys State, it feels more, and you mentioned it earlier, more tribal, more about winning, and a kind of zero-sum game. Whereas with Girl State, it was, as you said, more cooperative. There was also something about the ones who were most successful over the course of their attempt to reach a level of power and leadership were the ones who were more about process. That, for me, is the difference, a big difference between the two films.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting in the film that in the race for governor, we have three characters we follow who each choose different strategies. But you're right. They're not like it's not the tribal contest of chest thumping we saw in Boys State. It's, you know, one is running on the issues. One is running on shake every hand. And one is sort of reading the room in a different way. And I think that's the candidate you're referring to. And yeah. I think that's fascinating to watch them all kind of negotiate the space and their campaign strategy. With these, and those strategies speak to their inherent qualities. You know, they're sort of true to who they are. They're trying to be, and I think that struggle is poignant. You know, to not want to present yourself as someone you're not, and you see that's hard. I mean, when you're entering a performative space, as you know, as a consultant too in politics, you have to kind of present. And is what you present kind of really who you are? Are you bending yourself to the the dictates of the process or the room. And I think it mirrors the you know, what we see in the adult state, but it also allows us to track transformative journeys of these girls as they suffer victory and defeat. It really changes them.
I just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with the co-directors of this wonderful documentary film that's being released on Apple Plus on April 5th. Be looking for this, called Girl State, and that would be Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss. Again, the twists and turns in this film are, I just love to, it begins with this getting to know these women as they come together, getting to understand their perspective on what they hope to accomplish. And then slowly but surely, the film turns to structural issues. It turns into a critique on structural patriarchy, power structures, whatever you want to call it. Amanda, that really just kicked us into a whole nother level for me in terms of the appreciation of your work here. Is that, again, is that being fair to what you were hoping to accomplish with this film?
Yes. I mean, I'm glad it worked for you. Like, I think you say the word patriarchy, I say the word, and suddenly I do feel nervous that we're losing, right? Like it's, oh no, like a feminist, you know, manifesto. I don't see it that way. Watching kids come of age. That's, and there's a lot of hilarity to it. There's also a lot that's bittersweet to it, because some of the stuff that they're seeing for the first time, the way Emily sees for the first time some of the disparities with Boy State, which is, by the way, happening on this campus in parallel play, first time ever. Missouri, that's part of the reason we went to Missouri too, is they're experimenting for the first time. Like, what would happen if we had both of these programs on the same campus at the same time? They could really see one another. And there's value to that. We could share some of the resources, and there's value to that. But there, it also opens up conversations of comparison, which are really interesting to watch our kids grapple with for the first time. And essential, I think, to grapple with. And one that we, as sort of older folks in the adult state, should grapple with probably more often. And why is female representation in the political realm so not equal? Like, why is that? And I, you know, it's a hard question to answer, but it's a good question to ask.
And you're exactly right. You see the look on these young women's faces as they begin to wonder about that question, and you see it in real time as they see the resources devoted to what's going on with the boys' session. You see the people who are there in the boys' session who aren't in the girls' session. All of these things are happening in real time, and you're watching these women coming to grips with it. And as we watch what happens, it opens the film up into a much broader critique, if you will, a much broader perspective on what these women are dealing with, what they're going through, and how they're addressing it. What are they going to do about it? It's a wonderful part of the film. So.
Well, that's the beauty of these programs, I think, for us as storytellers too, is we really did see the microcosm piece that was reflective of the macrocosm of our, how, you know, electoral political behavior, like all of it, the state of boyhood, the state of girlhood, the state of our politics, why the divisions, is civil discourse even still, you know, something people believe in? Is our democracy worth fighting for? There's like, you could, this is a text, I think, for conversation, for a lot of different conversations. I think, again, there's value to that for me, just in terms of what I want to
say. And I think, you know, the challenge of storytellers is to find a different way to bring these stories to audiences. You know, we're so kind of traumatized by our politics in this country and defended in our corners, and looking for ways to look afresh, anew at the challenges we face, and but also the opportunities. And I think that's the beauty of the program, is that it is a kind of crystal ball or a laboratory of us, you know, and it shows us like a possible politics if we choose to reach for it, to allow people to reach for it. We haven't totally, because women are like 28% of our elected representatives and no president in our history. So we have to confront that reality. I think the film confronts it through these girls who are incredible and wonderful and surprising and funny and move us. And I think that's what we needed as storytellers, to find them and hopefully to bring audiences into that conversation too. And I think they'll find, like, our 14-year-old, we said, who's your favorite character? She said, I like Faith, you know, and I'm, you know, every anybody who comes, whether you're 13 or you're, you know, 72, you're going to identify with probably a different person in this film.
And to that point, the woman that I found to be the most interesting and compelling is Emily. And while we might not line up politically, she was the one who was more willing to put herself out there than I think many of the other women we see in the film. And the fact that she's a journalist, I think that is one of the reasons why she is willing to put herself out there, to be a little more forward about what it is that she wants and why she wants to go about doing the things that she does the way she does them. I found her to be in a very compelling character. I found her to be the embodiment of many of the things that I think the film is about.
But, you know, just to follow up on what you said about Emily, I mean, Amanda, you speak pretty eloquently about this, about Emily is a kind of, I don't know, both a challenge to and a moral center of our film. I mean, she's the subject we go on the biggest journey with, probably in our own feelings about her, because, I mean, we're fairly left of center, I would say, and Emily's politics are not ours, but we love her and we respect her and admire her and support her. And I think the audience goes on that journey with her through this film, through her eyes. And I think it's a challenge for some people, but I think it's a challenge that's really rewarded in surprising ways.
And just to put a fine point on what you just alluded to, Jesse, and that is that the race for the governor of Girls State is the most prized of all of the positions being sought. And watching Emily after she's given her speech, and it's beginning to dawn on her the probable outcome of the election based on some of the speeches given by other candidates. And watching a reaction, watching the self-reflection, you can actually really witness her as she begins to grapple with what has happened. And you see in that something so humanizing and so relatable. She was, like I said, so much of who she is and what she's about is really what so much of what Girl State is about. And having said that, there are other very interesting characters in the film. We have Nisha, Faith, Cecilia, Brooke, Toji, and Maddie. They're all in the mix in terms of a portrait of a generation of young women who are coming into their own at a time when the stakes could not be higher. And one of the reasons why I just love this film, Girl State, is that you were able to capture the energy, the intelligence, the ability to work with one another, to see a vision for a future that we'll all be better off if it's realized. So my congratulations once again for your work, not only with Boy State, with Girl State, with so many other films that you have been the creators of, the people who have made all this happen. So thank you so very much.
Thanks, Mike. Really good to talk to you. Thanks for your kind words about Girl State and your support.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.